Let's go to Acts chapter 4. I want to read verse 8 through verse 10, if you would, please. Acts chapter 4. I've been reading it quite a bit through. I look at something, then I get into something, but I've been reading a lot in the book of Acts and the things that we know. And this fourth chapter is a great chapter. My thoughts are this. If God put it in there, there's a reason he put it. If he had them include it, it's not an accident. There's a reason. And I believe that sometimes we could allow it to possibly be something that directs us. And, well, anyway, we'll see. Verse 8, then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, I just like the way that says. Brother Gray, Acts 2, he was there, he preached it. But then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost. Don't let yourself feel inferior if the Holy Ghost is there. Be filled with the Holy Ghost and speak up. Amen? He said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to this crippled man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, he must have had a little southern in him, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. That's good. I mean, that's just some good stuff. I got it. I'm going to be talking about prayer that you can feel is what I'm going to be talking about. But I was reading that today. As I was reading it, I had a mental image of the apostles standing before these men and everything that's going on. We're going to discuss here just in a little bit. But these men were looking with puzzled, almost alarmed faces. And not like he's trying to not add to it. You know, if we're examined of the good deed done, he didn't just say what we did, the good deed done. Be it known unto you. Now, don't you know they didn't want to hear that? I wish he'd have said it again in case they missed it. What takes place in Acts chapter 4 is the result of what took place in Acts chapter 3, which is the healing of the lame man. The fourth chapter and everything that happened is the outbreak of what took place. After Simon Peter saw the reaction of the people in the third chapter, the 11th verse, to the lame man, after that, and what that was, as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's Porch, greatly wondering. I want some church services where some people are greatly wondering. Not just saying that's what I expected, but greatly wondering. After that, he preaches. Now, I'm going to give you this, and you just read it later on. But he preaches to them from Acts chapter 3, verse 12, through the rest of this chapter, verse 26. And what he's preaching to them about, in essence, in the Reader's Digest version of it, he's preaching who Jesus is. He is preaching to the fact that they crucified Jesus, and then he's preaching about the resurrection of Jesus. I mean, he's just telling them this is what's going on. Let me tell you something. What we have is real, folks. What we have is real. We're not just going to church. This is real. This is something that is not a manufactured. It's not a man directive. This is what the plan of God, what it all mounts up to. And as a result of his preaching, he's talking to the people, and that's where the fourth chapter opens up. And as it opens up, the priest and the captain of the temple, the Sadducees, they came upon them. They heard them preaching and teaching. They heard them. Now think about this with me. Just get this in our minds. It wasn't that many days ago they crucified Jesus. Now, they knew more than anyone else that they had lied on Jesus. They got false accusers. They knew he was a good man. And the thing that absolutely blows my mind every time I read any of this, if these men, which they must have been, they had to have studied the word, the law, they would have known that what Jesus was doing was prophetic, and he was fulfilling the prophecy. So they knew there was something right, but they didn't want to yield to it. Let me just say this. There's going to be a lot of times that people's going to look at you after they've experienced something going on, or you've talked to them, and they're going to know you're right. I'll never forget, and it's been haunting me ever since, but years ago, my wife and I was teaching a Bible study to a lady who had come to church. On the fourth lesson, as I taught that, she was just, tears were flowing down her face. And when it came to an end, she looked at us, she said, "I believe everything you're telling me. I believe that's right. But I don't want to live that." And we walked out after I tried to talk to her. That was the end of it. So these men knew the apostles were right, but they were still trying to get him to stop. And so they arrested him. They arrested the disciples. And the thing, when I looked at that and what they were trying to do, if I'm against this, Brother Moss, my ideas will never stop what God wants to do. I can't hold back the power of God. I may stand and all of a sudden everything in me turn and God help me, it never happened, but I walk away. I am not going to alter who God is, what he is, and what he's wanting to do. And then also, what I realized as I was reading this, our world needs to know we are here. Our world needs to know that this is not just a church where we attend. We do not just sing the same songs and preach out of the book and all of this stuff. That's not what we are. They need to see our God through us. When they come to church or something happens, the word needs to get out that God has done something in our midst. God, oh Lord, one of the greatest things that could ever happen to us if we'd suddenly see through the Recovery Act or whatever, but lives who were messed up, they're changed, or healings, if that would happen, and all of a sudden people start coming in crippled and they walk out whole or they have other... Can it happen? Yes, it can happen. Yes, it is real. And it's who we are, and it's what we are. They need to see our God. They need to know that he still heals people. Amen. They need to know when they look at a life that is torn apart with the sinfulness of the world, they need to know that He still truly saves the lost and will deliver them. That's where we need to let God be seen. It wasn't Peter and John that did this. It was the Lord. They just were the vessel that the Lord used. As I was reading through this today, and I looked at what was going on, and I'm gonna try not to get too bogged in some of this. I read the seventh verse. Well, I read the whole thing, but I was reading the seventh verse. Now, listen to how this reads. And when the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the priests, captain of the temple, when they had set them, the apostles, in the midst. Now listen to this. They asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Okay. But look what that's really saying. They weren't questioning whether this man born lame was healed or not. They said, what gave you the authority to heal this man? It's not open for debate, discussion. They're not saying we don't believe it happened. They're not saying that his life has been changed from that of an invalid, that of a crippled man, to someone that is now standing and jumping. And again, as it reads later, he was holding on to them. And I'm just wondering if maybe the whole time they were talking, I don't know if his feet could stay still. Because, you know, I just started walking yesterday. And maybe the whole time. Don't you let your Holy Ghost become old and stale and stagnant. Don't you let the joy that you had when God saved you and brought you out, don't you let that become old and just something that's outdated. You stay alive. But they knew. This, I'm going to tell you. I think there's so much in this chapter that God's wanting us to understand and look at. They knew what had happened. What's that about? We're going to have people. We had a service on a Sunday morning. Helene, I'm trying to think of it as the Sunday you received the Holy Ghost. Do you remember? You laid out on the floor. And you were out. You started jabbering in tongues. We had some visitors here. And I'm talking about people were, in that service, we had people in different places. They were getting the Holy Ghost different places in the auditorium. And these visitors were sitting in the middle of it. And they did not attend our type of church. And I thought, well, either they are or they aren't. What are you going to do? I mean, the Holy Ghost was here. It wasn't open for a discussion that this wasn't something real going on. There was all sorts of, and you know what word came back? They sent word back by the people that brought them. God is not the author of confusion. And that church, the pastor was not in control. So, I figured real quick, they aren't. And they've never been back. You know, some of them, they knew what had happened. When you see somebody whose life is obviously changed, someone who has been healed, and you see it, but you don't want to admit it because I don't want to change who I am. There's something not wrong with me. There's something wrong with you. There's something wrong if you can't. They said their words, by what name have you done what you have obviously done? And that's when Peter brought in, and I love it. I love the way he just come back at him. And I don't know if he'd have done it quite the way I would have, but I would hope that he had a look on his face. If he would have said, now, if you're examining us, judging us of this good deed, and Jumping Joe's over here still getting with it, if you're going to judge us for this, he said, just, you got to know, we didn't do it. You want to know what happened? The same Jesus that you crucified, God brought back. He made him whole. And then he gets into the, verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's importance in the name. Amen. It goes on, and you read it more in detail later on, but it said, again, Luke is writing this, but God's wanting us to see something. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, I looked up that word. You know boldness in Greek, what it means? Bold. So I didn't know I spoke Greek, but here I am. But when they saw the boldness of Peter and John. Now remember, they're standing in front of people that had the authority to imprison them, beat them. And they stood there like, you don't bother us. When they saw the boldness in Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned, they were not educated in a lot of the things and ignorant men, they marveled. Something's not right here. And then I read this today. This absolutely I loved. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Now, wait a minute. These religious leaders that helped crucify Jesus just looked at Peter and John and they said, it's quite obvious that these men have been around Jesus. You know, one translation says, it says, they reminded them of Jesus. We just crucified him. Now, we lost him and we gained two more now. It said the way they worked reminded them of Jesus. And then one of the greatest, to me, this is literally, every once in a while I go and I turn to the fourth chapter, the 14th verse, and I just want to read it because this is one of the greatest verses you're going to find in the Bible. After they talked about these men, I just love it. Here's these religious, we're going to kill you leaders. And beholding the man, which was healed, not crippled, but look how Luke writes it, standing with them. They couldn't say anything against it. What are we going to say? Let me tell you, I don't have to defend us if God's in it. If God's in it, something's going to happen. If God is in it, it's going to be right. If God is in it, it's going to touch somebody. Now, whether they receive it, whether they let it come in or not, that's between them and God. But if God is in it, and that's where we as a church, we must be, and we must reach, and we must allow our lives to be used of God. So then they looked at it and they were discussing. They put the disciples outside, and then they had their wise discussion. What shall we do to these men? We got to do something. If we let it go, we're in trouble. What shall we do to these men? Now, their words, for that indeed a notable miracle has been done. And they said, and we cannot deny it. They knew. When someone asks me, and I get asked quite a bit, what type of church service do you have? How was church? I kind of put on the Simon Peter attitude. Us? You know, it's amazing when you tell people who the Holy Ghost just moved tremendously. You won't believe what happened when they've never felt the Holy Ghost. They don't know what it is. And you start telling them things that happened in church. And then I always like to close it out by saying, and how was your service? Somehow we don't compare well. Somehow it doesn't seem to really come out the way that they had intended it to happen. You know, I love it. I've told of times, and I make sure when I know something happened. Oh yeah, we had so and so there. They were walking in, and they were really having a hard time. We prayed for them, and man, God touched them. Anything happened in yours? You know, I wanted to. My question today, in reading this. Why wouldn't these religious men? I mean, look, they were religious men for what they had. I don't question some people's sincerity. But if there's something more, and I can see it, why don't you come to it? At least look at it. They don't even sit down and question. Why would they not want to believe this when you have a miracle? These men had passed that crippled man for years. They probably were kind enough to put some money and give him something. And now the man is standing. They knew his legs were useless. They knew he couldn't walk. Wouldn't you want to know the God who was able to do this? Wouldn't you want to know the God that can take a life and transform it and change it? And again, I want to reemphasize, that's what I hope, this recovery. God, give us some of these that are so down and out, their lives are so broken, and they don't know anything, and they're far from God. But give it, God, I'm not asking for 1,000. Give us one. That's what I'm asking for. Give us one. Wouldn't you want to know the God that took one person whose life was in shambles, and they were nothing, and God changed them? Amen. I don't care if it's what you go to or not. I'd want to investigate it. Then they go on, they say, let's threaten them. Isn't that just like Satan trying to intimidate? Let's threaten them. Let's bring fear. That they speak henceforth to no man in this name. I just laughed when I read that today. We're going to tell them, we will not allow you to speak in this man's name ever again. Right, that's going to work. You got me on that one, man. I'm done. I give up. You know, hell has no answer for the working of God. It has no defense, but it has no answer. Gates of hell shall not prevail. We got that. But it has no answer to what God is capable of doing. And one of the things that I even feel in this service tonight, there is no telling who God is looking at right now that is hungry and searching and wanting something more. And whether they've ever had it before or not, God brings some of our prodigals home. How many of our prodigals are living lives right now that they know as well as we know that if the Lord should come in the near future, they're not going to make it. They know it as well as we do, and they're trying to get by. God, it's time to trouble the water. It's time to stir things up. It's time to get in some lives and some hearts. And God knows who. And then who that has never experienced this? They've never experienced this. But they're looking. Don't you know when if someone reads the Bible, when they get into the book of Acts and God can lead them there, don't you know when they start reading some of this, there's got to be some thoughts? Why don't we do that? Why don't we have that? But if Satan, okay, here, we forbid you henceforth to speak in this man's name ever again. If Satan can cause you or cause me through fear, intimidation, whatever, to not tell what God is doing for us, then he's won a victory. The greatest thing we can do is to broadcast what God is doing in our midst. Okay? Now, we need some things to happen. We need to get our prayers geared to where some things start happening. And I believe it. I absolutely believe it. I believe Whatever goes on, I believe that Eddie that was from the Mexican restaurant in Redfield, 5 months he was on the vent. 5 months. Now he's not able to walk yet, but he's been laid up for 5 months. But they had a picture of him the other day. He was sitting up in the bed with a big smile on his face. 5 months he's off the vent. Now, there's been a lot of our churches praying for Eddie. Been a lot of people praying for Eddie. And I believe that prayer, I mean, come on. And that lady, we've talked to his wife numerous times. We've all talked to her. And we've let her know we're praying. And when we talk to her, she just tears just well up in her eyes. And she just starts crying. She said, I know it. And I know it works. And I could start listing on down. I could go on down. The other day, I think I told you, I'm not sure that I mentioned it to the Saturday night, but I don't know, remember, but I got a call from Brother Odo. And on Friday, for the first time in months and months and months and months, he spent 44 days in the hospital. He had something else happen. He had shingles, and he woke up, he called me to tell the church. He said, I want you to tell the church. Said, I woke up Friday, I guess it was last week, and said, Diane, I'm scared. She said, what's wrong? He said, I don't have any pain. I'm scared to move. It's the first time in months. And so he called me a few days later. He said, you're the first person I wanted to call about this to tell you, because you and your church has been concerned about us. But he said, all my pain's gone. Everything's gone. And I want to tell you and tell your church, thank you for praying. Come on, let's get some things happening. Come on, let's tell some people what's going on and how God is working. Amen. There's enough gloom and doom going on the airwaves right now. We need to tell what's happening around the house of God and what God is doing. Amen. Amen. We're in need. And I believe that this is why this is here, but we are in need of a powerful, powerful, genuine move of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We're so accustomed to church. We're so familiar with the way things go and how they go and all of that. We're familiar with everything about it, but we are in need of a genuine, powerful move of the Spirit of God. We need to come in and we feel it. And I'm not talking about manufactured. I'm talking about real. I'm talking about when we start to open our mouth, whatever the word of the song is, something just swells up inside. I feel God. And it gets to the place that I don't care who watches me. I don't care who's around. I want a move of God in my heart. I want God to sweep in the church. And I believe, you believe however you want, I believe if we get the Spirit of God working here, that it'll reach out into the city and it'll reach out into the lives that we work with and it'll touch them and start drawing them. I believe that. I believe that. I've asked God for years, how am I going to get it, have an inroad to start talking to some of these people that I've been friends with for a long time. I believe it starts right here on this Wednesday night. Amen. God, give me a move of God. Give something that'll start stirring. Now, I'm not talking about a shouting service. Now, you may shout with it, but that's not what I'm talking about. A lot of times, the shouting service is just for us. We feel good. You know, that's one of those where we're no telling what's going to happen. But what I'm talking about and what I'm dealing with, I want a service that becomes a look what the Lord has done service. Look what God has done. Man, I can't wait to tell somebody what the Lord just did. I can't wait to tell someone how God healed someone instantly. Come on, we can still have instant healings. We can, Sister Sandy, God can heal MS. Amen. God can heal it. I'm not talking about He can make you feel better. He can heal MS. God can heal our problems, our sicknesses, our needs. God can do that. Come on, God. Let us have a move of the Spirit of God. Let us have a flowing of the presence of God. And then when He tells it or when He heals them, let's tell it. Our problem sometimes, we want to confine the lame man to the church. Shh, come on, son. Don't do that. If we start having our miracles following us, what is God going to do? How is God? That's why. I mean, they could have left the lame man there, but the lame man followed him. And the way it says in the third, I love it. I don't care. I love it. He was walking, jumping, leaping. What I'm saying, he was drawing attention to himself. Look at me. Can you do this? Can you? I mean, just bang. That's God. That's God. And that's what we need. Let me ask you this. Would we be willing to speak to the lame man if we passed him? Would we be willing? Again, here I am, and I'm not going to make every lesson on these things, but if we bring some of these people that we're talking about into these services, we're going to have to look at these people and realize, hey, whether it's going, you go about it the right way, you don't plow into it, but we've got what they need. My God can break addictions. Oh, they're addicted. Well, I got good news for you. I know a God that can tear addictions apart. I know a God. Amen. Amen. God is able. God is able. God is able. God is able. And it's in the name of Jesus. It's not up to us. It's up to Him. We're not going to do it. Quit acting like we're responsible for it. It's not us. It's God. And God is the way it's going to happen. And then this is where I kind of wanted to start. But I'm not going to have time to get into it. My original plans was to read 24 through 31, but I'm not going to. But 24, let me just... The disciples went back to where the people were, and when they heard what had been said to them, they lifted up their voices to God with one accord. There was one purpose. One accord. We're gonna talk to God. They united in prayer. Prayer is something that has to be a part of who we are. Amen. That we're known for our music and we're known for loud preaching. I mean pleasantly loud. But that's what the Pentecost Church is known for. We have excitement. But you know what we've got to be known for? We must be known for our prayers. Our prayer. They were united. And you can't miss the fact that everything that's happening here is a result. In Acts 3, they were going to the temple at the hour of prayer. Then here they come. They're going to, and they meet the lame man. And now they're united in prayer. And then I love what they prayed here. In verse 30, they were asking the Lord to come. And they said, and now Lord, in 29, now Lord, behold, they're threatening. Grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. And here's what we want. By stretching forth your hand to heal. Not to make people feel better. Heal them. We need to start praying for healings. Not naming the names. We don't have to know who they are. God, send people that need healing. And that signs, they prayed this, and that signs and wonders or signs and miracles may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. This is what we're after. This is what we need. This, you see, we have been given the unique opportunity to be able to look at this. And God does something that they could all know that He was there. Oh, I felt God. I did too. Oh, I didn't feel nothing. I wonder why you didn't feel anything. Verse 31 said, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. The place was shaken. And once again, being the Greek scholar that I am, I looked that up. Shaken means, it does mean shaken. But it also means to move to and fro. The place where they were at just started moving. You get the Holy Ghost in here. I mean, they're talking about a physical movement. You get the Holy Ghost in here. Something's going to happen. You get the Holy Ghost moving. Something is going to happen. When they prayed, the place was shaken. In essence, all it's saying, all Luke is saying, God shook that place. God, I want the Holy Ghost to come in here, and I want a prayer to happen that we can feel, a prayer that we know it's God. And whether I have a need or not, whether it's me or somebody else, or if it's futuristic, let it be that it's going to impact someone. You know, I can't speak for others. I just, My dad, and I miss him so much, but my dad ate by the clock. Had nothing to do with how hungry you were. When I'd go up there, he'd always like to go to Indianapolis. And there were about three or four stores or stops he liked to make. And then he was always going to ask me where I wanted to eat, and I never care. This is pretty much the conversation. Oft times, we'd leave the house right after we ate breakfast about 10:30. Now, they started fixing, and about 10:30 we finished, and when my dad fixed a breakfast, Sherry, it was a Sherry Kazar breakfast. I mean, he put it all together, and he loved it. We'd get in the car, it's about 30, 35 minutes to Indianapolis, and he'd say, now, I mean, we're just getting in the car after just eating. He'd say, where do you want to eat lunch? I'm driving. I'd look at him. I said, Dad, are you hungry? I mean, we just ate 30, 40 minutes ago. We had a big breakfast. Are you hungry? He said, well, no. But he acted like there was something wrong with me. He said, well, no. But if we don't eat now, we won't be hungry for supper. I said, okay, we're stopped. Well, where do you want to stop? I said, Dad, I'm not really hungry, so I'm not the best one to decide where to stop. He said, man, you're a hard head. I mean, that was almost daily what went on. But it wasn't hunger. But I got to looking at this fourth chapter, and I can't speak for others, but I can tell you this, I am hungry for a real move of God. I am hungry for a move of God. If there is more that can happen, I want it to happen in my lifetime. If there's something, and instead of just coming in and going through motions, I want to let a Holy Ghost come in. He shook the place. There wasn't any doubt that he was there. God, give us a prayer that we can feel. Give us a prayer that we know we've touched God. Amen. Hallelujah. Our world needs to be shaken. And it's not going to be shaken. It's not going to be shaken just by the world itself. But I believe that the church can shake the world. And you know what I'm reaching for? I'm reaching for my world. I want my world to be shaken. And only through sincere prayers can it happen. That's good enough. I want prayer that I know that I can feel. God to do something. God to move somehow. I don't want to have fear when we look at somebody and we pray for them, because it's not anything to do with any of us. It's only to do with Him. Let's let God do it. You want the prodigal to come home? Let's let there be a shaking in the house. God will bring prodigals home. I believe, and this is the way I've believed for a long time, but I think I need to get a little deeper into it. I believe that while we are having church and praying, I believe the Spirit of God can reach out and can touch people that's miles and miles away. Let's stand together, would you please? We need evidence. That's what they were saying. We want signs and miracles. heal people, signs and miracles. God, give us miracles. Give us healings. I don't want to be worried about it. I want to come and believe it that God, you said it, you declared it, I accept it, I believe it, and I'm going to claim it. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Why don't we come and stand today? Let's come and stand. Hallelujah.
Be lifted.